الله المنان ذو التول والفضل والإحسان الذي من علينا بالإيمان وفضل ديننا على سائر الأديان ومحى بحبيبه وخليله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبادة أوثان فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد. Indeed, today when we look around, when it is we put our scope of our ears out, the airways, they are totally filled, they are totally jam-packed, everyone with promises, everyone with hopes. Everyone is given an encouragement. Everyone is pushing towards a particular direction. In the masjid yards, debates are being held straight until the call of adhan. An hour of the day doesn't go except that we are reminded, except that we are swayed, except that we are pushed, except that we are encouraged towards a particular direction and towards a particular group. And hardly for the day do we recognize or do we have any statements about Allah. An entire day is going to go and hardly ever do we mention the name of Habib Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An entire day is going to go. We are looking for change in every single thing. We are looking for change in every single one. And we are hardly looking at our own selves. Hardly putting a gaze towards our own selves. Hardly looking at our own selves. What do I as an individual need to change? What shall I do to be a better abd and to be a better servant? What do I need to do to elevate and to raise in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do I need to do? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes out at Arafah, in the 10th year after Hijrah, he comes out with his companions, massive and huge crowd, 124,000 companions, surround the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, descends to Arafah. Hajjatul Wida, pilgrimage of the Nabi, only one that he does in his life. When the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they heard that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming out to this Hajj, every individual, whether he was sick or whether he was healthy, whether he was old or whether he was young, everyone wanted to accompany the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes towards Arafah. At the plains of Arafah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the people, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind and O people, Inni la arani wa iyyakum najtamiu fi hadha al-majlisi abada. That I don't see myself, I don't see us, you as companions, and I don't see myself ever in our lives again gathering, ever in our lives again coming out towards Arafah, coming out towards this place again. I think that I'm not going to be with you too long again. This was the words that came out of the mouth of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us for a few moments try to imagine, try to get the feelings of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Imagine a father, he has a newborn child. The love that he has for this child, that attachment that he has for this child. And as the years they go, the love for this child, it continues to increase, and it continues to increase. Until lo and behold, this father, he recognizes now that he has some disease with him. He has some illness with him. He is lying on a bed. The information that reaches the ears of this child is that your father, he is not going to remain with you too much longer. Spend some time with him. Sit at his side. Find out what he wants. See what comfort you can benefit with these last few moments that you have with him. This child, he will go and he will sit. And every single word, because of the love that he has for this father, he is going to remember it. For the rest of his life, he is going to cherish these final words. Imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man, that individual, who companions are radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they love more than their own parents, who they love more than their own children, who they love more than their own selves, is mentioning to them that I am not going to remain with you any longer. Soon I'm going to leave the face of this earth. Soon I'm going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Can we imagine the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum? Can we imagine the emotions that they had at this point in time? When that ayat of Quran was revealed, Al-Yawma kamaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam adina, was revealed that today I have perfected your religion for you, and I have completed my favors upon you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I am pleased that this religion of Islam is yours. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he starts to weep and he starts to cry. The people, they come to Umar radiallahu ta'ala and they ask Umar radiallahu ta'ala, oh Umar, our deen has just become perfected. Our deen has just become complete. Oh Umar, why are you crying? Oh Umar, why are you weeping so much? Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he says to them, after perfection, the only thing that can come about is imperfection. Oh people, I recognize that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to go back to Allah just now. There's no need for him on the face of this earth again. Allah has perfected the religion. The Nabi is going to leave the face of this earth. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, this is the environment that is there at this point in time. This is the sentiments that they have in their hearts. These are the feelings that are going through them. Imagine that attentive air that they are given to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Arafah, he stands and he delivers a khutbah. That if you and I were to learn this khutbah, to study it, and only these few lines and these few couplets, we were to bring it in our lives, this is sufficient for us. It was such a comprehensive speech. Such a great speech that was uttered in just a few lines and in just a few moments. That if it is, we were to really study it. However, few from amongst us study it. And even less from amongst us actually bring it into our lives. I'd just like to speak about one of those lines in which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned on this Hajjatul Wida, on this final pilgrimage, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom they gave such an attentive air, such an air of listening, he says to them, Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا وشهر في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا. He says, certainly the blood of you, the wealth of you, and the honor of you, they are haram for another person to violate. It is haram for another person to take from it. Just as how today this day of Arafah is sanctified, just as this day of Arafah is such a great day, this day of Arafah we raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a day it is. Which month is it? Is in the sacred month of Dhul Hijjah. Is in the best of cities in the world, Makkatul Mukarramah. So sanctified and so sacred these things are. Similarly, the blood of one of you is so sacred as well. Such honor is placed for the blood of another believer, that we are not to harm him, much less take his life, much less go towards killing, much less taking him out from the face of this earth. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about many different sins. That you commit this sin, you will get this punishment. You commit that sin, you are going to get that punishment. You do this, this is going to be your jaza, this is going to be your recompense. When it comes towards the killing of another Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one ayat of the Holy Quran, he utters 4 degrees of curse for that one person. For that one action that he does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, that whosoever, and Allah puts a condition, that whichever individual he were to slaughter and he were to kill another believer, مُتَعَمِّدًا, in what condition? Intentionally. فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ, then his recompense is Jahannam. He's going to go towards the Jahannam, he's going to go towards the blazing fire. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, the anger of Allah is going to be upon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lanat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is going to be upon him. وَعَدَّ لَهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to prepare for him عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, such a huge, such an enormous punishment for taking the life of another individual. Today we live, so much rumblings we have, so much fighting goes on amongst Muslims. People, you hear them utter the statement, if I had the will of he, I would have killed him. If I had the opportunity, I would have taken his life. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first statement that he utters, such hurmat, such sacredness he puts towards life, that Islam puts towards life, the preservation of life, that we all understand that the consummation, that the eating, that putting into our bodies haram, is totally against our Sharia, yet still in a state of dire hunger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of our Sharia that we can even consume pig at that point in time. Such a greatness is put towards the preservation of life. Therefore, how then can a person go towards killing another individual? How then can an individual go towards slaughtering of another person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the first hurmat, the first thing that is prohibited is the dima and the blood of another person. Similar to it as well is his wealth. His wealth is put on that pedestal as well, that we are not to usurp and we are not to steal. We are not to plunder and we are not to loot. We are not to go and take the wealth of another person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that a believer is that person, man aminahu an-nasu ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim, is who are the believers. They are safe. They can remain in that sanctified manner. With regards to their wealth and with regards to their blood, they remain safe from another person. That they have no fear that he is going to take it from me. He has no fear that he is going to snatch it away from me. Is always going to be sanctified. Today, people, one person is going to die from a family. And the children, they are going to fight. Favoritism is given to one over the other. Families, they become separated over wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising us that don't ever take the wealth of another person unjustly, because what account will we give on that day of judgment? When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day? And just as these two things, they are sanctified and they are put on such a high pedestal, similarly is the honor of one person, the honor for you and I, the honor that we have as one Muslim towards another individual, it is very, very sanctified as well. It is put upon a very high pedestal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration comes, Abi Bakrata, he enters into the masjid of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes into ruku. Abi Bakrata, he now enters the masjid of the Rasul, for fear that he may miss the rakat. Wherever he entered into the masjid, right there he went into ruku. As he went into ruku, salat is now finished. People are looking at him strangely. He didn't even come and join the line. How did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correct Abu Bakr? He says to him, Zadakallahu hirsan wa la ta'ud. Wa Abu Bakr, you're coming towards the masjid of Allah, that is something good. You are praised for that. May Allah increase you in that. May He give you that enthusiasm to come towards the masjid of Allah. Come and perform your salat in the masjid. However, what you done was wrong. That you shouldn't have stand so far the back and perform salat. You should have joined the saf and come to the line. Wala ta'ud. Do not, O Abu Bakr, do not repeat your action again. This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is correcting his companion. With such words. So beautiful. He doesn't harm him. He doesn't dishonor him. He doesn't bring him down. He doesn't humiliate him in the environs of the other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Rather, he praises him and he corrects him at the same time. Today, we will humiliate at will. We will debase at will, all for a laugh and all for a joke. We will say things about people just to aggravate them sometimes. Just that the words came from me, so I know he is vexed with me, so he will become more angry, so we will say that particular word. And this is our temperament. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to us, just as how we recognize the sacredness of that land of Arafah, just as we recognize the sacredness of that month of Dhul Hijjah, just as we recognize the sacredness of that place of Makkatul Mukarrama, similarly the honor of another individual has the same status. It has the same height. It has the same degree. And after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the statement. At Hajjatul Wida, he says to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he says, Satalqawna Rabbakum, that soon you people, you are going to meet your Allah, that you are going to meet your Lord. Wasayas'aluna an a'malikum, and soon you all are going to be questioned. Soon you all are going to be asking sin in your a'mals in this world. That you are looking at it as a distant time. You are looking at it as a long period. As a distant future. However, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1400 years ago, at the 10th after Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the companions, that you all are going to meet your Allah. That we are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going to have to answer for every single thing that we do in this world. And Ibn Hatim, he mentions, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ma minkum min ahadin. There isn't a single soul in this world. Nobody on the face of this earth. Illa sayukallimuhu rabbuhu. Except that his Lord is going to speak to him. His Lord is going to have a conversation with him on the day of judgment. He is going to converse with him. Laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman. Between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between this abd and the servant, there isn't going to be any tarjuman, there isn't going to be anyone doing translation for him. Today a person from foreign may come, he may lecture to us. We need someone to translate that language in order for us to understand. But sometimes this translator himself, not every single word he knows, so therefore he gives his own explanation. Whenever one language is translated from one language to another, meaning is always lost in translation. So therefore we don't actually get the gist of what is being said. We lose the essence of what is actually being said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying on the day of judgment, we'll not have to worry about that. There isn't going to be any tarjuman, any person given translation on the day of judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us, we are going to understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And when we converse and when we speak back to Allah, He will understand exactly what we say as well. Perfectness is going to occur on that day of judgment. وَلَا حِجَابٌ يُحَجِّبُهُ. As well as on that day of judgment, there isn't going to be any hijab and there isn't going to be any separation. There isn't going to be any barrier and there isn't going to be anything preventing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this servant, this abd. In this world we may commit a jinai and we may commit a crime. And we may hire a lawyer. And because of his charismatic words, because of his persuasive ability, Although we have committed a crime, we are not punished in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, when we stand before Allah on that day of judgment, understand there is nothing that is going to prevent us from the wrath of Allah. There is nothing that is going to prevent us from the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is going to be absolutely nothing that is there. Today people will traverse to a different land. They will move towards a different city in order to escape trial, in order to escape their crime that they have committed. On that day there is going to be no running. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, final words he is telling the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that O sahaba, I'm not going to meet you again. I'm not going to be with you too long again. Remember my words. Remember my last advice that I'm going to give to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has given advice. And after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave advice. He is then telling us about something that there is absolutely no doubt in. That we will definitely without a doubt stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People today, right now is only speech. They are going to talk right now. Proposals and propositions are going to be given. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, has given such a thought about the future, such an incident that is going to occur about the future, that without a doubt is going to take place. Indeed, it is going to happen, definitely is going to take place. Our standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we live in this world? What lessons do we take from this time? What do we take from the last words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imagine our father is dying and he is telling us what to do with his will. He is telling us what to do with his estate, what to do with his clothes. Many people, the clothing of their parents, they will never wash it. They will keep it in a plastic bag until they themselves die. They will keep garments and they will keep things of sentimental value with themselves, shit, until they themselves die. From their mentors and from their shuyukh, from people of elevated status. What about the greatest man on the face of this earth, who walked upon the face of this earth, who this world would have not been created had it not been for him? What about his words towards us? Does it have any value? Is there any sentiments that is placed it? Is there any attachment and any love that is placed it? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns us that one another, let us bring unity instead of killing one another and fighting one another. Let us, instead of trying to loot and trying to steal from one another, try and aid and try and assist in the protection of one another. And instead of debasing and bringing on people, why don't we work to elevating people? Why don't we work towards the correction as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected in such a beautiful way? And while doing all of these actions, let us not ever forget our standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are going to be before Him. I hope through these few words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He enlightens our hearts towards the shortness of this life and the everlastingness of Akhirah. I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to understand the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring it practically into our lives. I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to live with Iman. He allows us to die with Iman. And He allows us to rise on the day of judgment with perfect Iman. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.